Well, this morning we're continuing in our series, Experiencing the Cross, and as you may have guessed from our children's time, we're talking about Mary Magdalene and her experience of the cross. You know, she was the first person to see Jesus after he was resurrected. What an honor, right? And God gave this to a woman. It shows the value that he puts on all men and women, that he would first show himself to this woman that he is resurrected. And so we're going to look at Mary's experience of the resurrection. You can turn in your Bibles to John chapter 20 is where we will be this morning to follow along, and I encourage you to grab your Bible and follow along there. Now, we don't know much about Mary Magdalene, okay? You may have heard lots of things about her, but actually we don't know that much about her, but we do know that she had been healed by Jesus early in his ministry. She experienced real life transformation. Okay, Luke 8, 1 through 3 tells us that she was possessed by 7 demons and Jesus delivered her from them all. And she said, I will follow you wherever you go. Right? She had her life transformed. Luke also indicates that she traveled with Jesus and the disciples from very early in his ministry while they proclaimed the gospel town to town. So she is a witness to Jesus' ministry. Also, that she, like the other women that traveled with the disciples, seems to have been a woman of means. It talks about how she and the other women supported Jesus' ministry, meaning she may have been wealthy. You know, and I love that God saw fit to include that in the gospel story, right? To recognize all these ladies that supported his ministry. It's a good example of the value of our tithing in support of all that God does. He sees it. He remembers it. And a great way for us to be a part of what God is doing in any one place. So I think it would encourage us as God's people to be faithful givers to what he is doing. And you guys do that well. And so I just want to thank you for your faithful giving. Now, there is some tradition that develops later in church history about Mary, and maybe you've heard this, that she had also been a prostitute before Jesus saves her. But I want you to see, the Bible never says that. Okay, that's all hearsay that seems to develop later, especially if she was a wealthy woman. And so we don't think that to be true. We also see that she witnessed the crucifixion. She, like the centurion, stood with the other ladies at the bottom of the cross and saw Jesus crucified and saw him die on the cross with Mary, his mother, and also the wife of Cleopas. And so as we think about Mary Magdalene this morning, think about this. She was a woman who was delivered by Jesus. She saw all of his ministry. She witnessed his crucifixion. And now she is going to be the first one to witness his resurrection. She might have something to tell us about Jesus. What is it that God wants to teach us this morning as we think through Mary's witness to the resurrection? I've been reflecting on this week a bit. I think she wants to show us that a faithful pursuit of Jesus, no matter how hard it may be, will end in joy. It will end in joy, right? She encourages, just keep going, and you will find the joy that Jesus has to offer. So as we get into our text, I want to set up the scene just a little bit. So that we know where we're at. You know, in John 19, 38 through 42, right after Jesus was crucified, it tells us that Joseph of Arimathea, a very wealthy disciple, asked Pilate for the body, and Pilate is willing to give Jesus' body to him, and so he takes him and he lays him in his own garden tomb, a place he was preparing for himself. He lays Jesus. The text also tells us that Nicodemus, you remember him, kind of that angsty Pharisee that comes to Jesus at night in John chapter 3, and Jesus says, Nicodemus, you got to be born again if you want to follow me. He's there also to receive the body with Joseph, and we're told that he brings a tremendous amount of spices to anoint Jesus' body for burial. And as we heard even this morning in our children's sermon, this must have been an extremely confusing time for the disciples. Okay? Think about this for a second. They're mourning the loss of a friend and a mentor. He had been executed in a public way, gruesome, to squash his movement. And likely they're left grappling with questions about, is this Jesus thing even real? Like, what was this? What have we been a part of? Was it worth it at all? What does his death mean? Is this thing over? What do we do now? God, why did you let this happen? I thought he was the Savior. If you've ever lost a good friend or a mentor, you know how it sets you adrift. I can remember losing one of my best friends when I was 24, and I couldn't sleep for months, right? You go, what happened? God, why? Why are you doing this? How much more, think how much more if that person had been speaking into your life in a spiritual way, speaking spiritual truth into your life, you had believed the message, put your faith in the message, and it seems all the disciples of Jesus know how to do is take care of the body of this mentor and friend and mourn and go back and go, I just got to think about this. And this is where we pick up the story of Mary and John chapter 20. We're going to look at a few things. First thing here is this, Mary's concerned reaction. Look at John 20, verses 1 and 2. It says, now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, they've taken the Lord out of the tomb and we don't know where they've laid him. Okay, let's think about this for a second. You know, Mary is often seen as the most beloved of the women that follow Jesus. So if John is the beloved disciple that it speaks of there, Mary is the corresponding female beloved disciple. And this is likely what compelled Mary to go to the tomb first, right? I got to just know. I want to be there. Her arrival at the tomb, in John, we see this, it may be before the other accounts of her arrival that we see in the other Gospels, but when she gets there, she sees something disturbing that disquiets her soul, that the burial stone that protects the body from thievery, looting, desecration, it has been rolled away. It seems that something has happened to Jesus. And her first reaction is fear and confusion. And I think we later know this from her tears that she sheds beside the tomb. She's crying, likely thinking, surely, God, you have not given us tragedy upon tragedy. Right? You ever been there? It's bad enough that we lost Jesus to death, but surely you wouldn't let someone come and take his body away. And it's too much to bear. So she runs off and tells Peter and John the news. And the gospel accounts tell us she may have been with other women. John 22 signals when she says, we don't know where they've put him, Peter. So even in this confused moment, though, I think the gospel writers want to show us as the readers that with the stone rolled away, a divine event has already taken place. Matthew 27 indicates that the stone had been sealed to keep people out. There were guards placed there to keep the body from being stolen, a resurrection claimed. And so the fact that this stone is moved away is meant to sign to us that a miracle has taken place. And it's already happened when Mary gets there, but she doesn't get it yet, right? She doesn't realize, so she promptly runs and tells Peter and John. I think this is good for us to see that in the midst of the difficult days of our life, God may be doing something you never realize, right? Something that we don't realize from the outside. A guarded tomb has had the stone rolled away. The guards have run off in fear. One of God's greatest miracles, and Mary thinks it's a tragedy. She She doesn't understand yet, but she keeps pressing in to find Jesus. The resurrection teaches us, don't sit in judgment about the events of your life before they've come to fruition. Rather, hold out hope. Put our faith in God. Keep searching. God is working a bigger miracle in your life through Jesus than may be readily apparent, because he always is. And these will end way better than Mary could ever imagine. They will be filled with joy. And our lives will be filled with joy in Jesus as we follow him. Now, we begin to get a taste of the miracle of Christ's resurrection when Peter and John arise. Look at now a taste of the resurrection that's going to produce faith here in verses 3 through 10. We'll read 3 through 5 first. It says, so when Peter went out with the other disciple and they were going towards the tomb, both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. Okay, now, I think this is funny, right? I like to run. In fact, last night we did an Easter angsty run. We ran the Grandeur Loop about 11 miles, and, you know, it's fun to run, and it's fun to tell people about your running. And I love that Peter and John, they're telling the most important event of history, and John says, oh, by the way, I'm faster than Peter, to be remembered for all time in history, right? Like, Peter, I'm just going to slip this in. I'm more loved by Jesus, and I'm faster than you, and by the way, Jesus rose from the grave. Just a little reminder, right? These are normal guys doing normal guy things. And when Peter reaches the tomb after John, look what it says here. It says in verse 6, then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen clothes lying there, and the face cloth which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen clothes, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scriptures that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. So John gets there first. He takes a peek, and what he sees is astounding, but he doesn't go in. Peter then gets there. He charges in, as Peter likes to do, and sees the burial linen that was lying on Jesus and the face covering folded up to the side. And lots of scholars have said, what did they actually see? Like, what did this look like? Most of them think that the burial linen may still have had the shape of the body, and that Jesus passed through them. He leapt out of the grave clothes. It's kind of like his appearance to the disciples later in John chapter 20, that there's locked doors and then Jesus just appears. And so we can compare this to the resurrection of Lazarus in John 11. You know, when Jesus commands Lazarus to come out of the tomb, what do they got to do to him? They got to unwrap him, right? He comes out with the claws on him. And yet Jesus was gone, right? He was resurrected. His clothes left there. His face cloth folded on its own. Another signal to point to us, this is a miraculous event that Jesus is totally in control of. John 28 tells us something very important. It says, when John saw the empty tomb as he went in after Peter, he saw and believed. Okay? I want you to see this. Jesus' ministry, his life, his death, his resurrection are meant to lead us to a point of belief. The resurrection is meant to be the linchpin of our faith. Listen, if you want to be a Christian, if you want to follow Jesus, then believing in the resurrection is a must. John's belief is meant to be a pattern for us of what it means to follow Jesus. Notice that Peter has a different take on the situation. Not sure if he got it all the way. Not sure if he got all the way to belief here. Luke 24, 12 in the NLT says this, Peter went home again wondering what happened. What have I just seen? Right? In the ESV, it says he marveled at what happened. I think Peter went home pondering these events, likely in light of his denial, likely wanting to believe, but he's not sure if Jesus is going to take him back yet, like we heard several weeks ago. But John, when he sees the empty tomb and the grave clothes, he believes Jesus has resurrected, right? I think it's also funny here in John 29, it tells us that even though John believed, John and Peter still did not understand the scriptures. They didn't understand, they didn't put together all that Jesus had taught from the Old Testament had now come true in the resurrection. I want this to give you a little ground. You don't have to understand everything about the Bible to believe in Jesus, okay? And this is really important. Two of guys that walked with Jesus, heard all his teaching, didn't get the scriptures, and yet John believed that it was true. Okay? It's good for us to realize this, but John believes that Jesus was dead and now he is alive. As the angel announced in Mark 16, Jesus, the one who was crucified, he has risen. He is not here. Right? What we celebrate today, right? He is risen. Come on, let's do that again. He is risen. There we go. And if you believe that is true, you're saying there's something to this Jesus thing. That event alone demands a response from us. If that is truth, if there is a guy that claimed to be God who now has rose from the grave, then we have to consider all that Jesus has said to us, and it demands a response from our lives. If this event is true, it demands that we live our lives in accordance with it. What do you believe this morning? Right? Our disciple friends are telling us about what happened with Jesus. Will you believe with John or not? That's the question. As we said, belief in the resurrection has been essential to the Christian confession of faith. It's the tip of the spear of belief, and everything follows from it. Listen to how Paul brings it in here in Romans 10, 9 through 10, the simplest of Christian confessions. It says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's essential, for with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. Paul also says this in 1 Corinthians 15, 17 through 19. If Christ has not been risen from the dead, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. If this Jesus thing is only about this life, then we of all people are most to be pitied, he said. In other words, if this isn't true, none of it matters. You ought to go home and start eating the ham. Right? Get up and leave. It's not worth it. Go do something better. Why is the resurrection so important? The resurrection proves that Jesus is exactly who he says he is. That everything he said is true. That God was happy with him and accepted his sacrifice on your behalf. He was pleased to resurrect him from the dead. And it gives us a hope that we can be right with God and that there is a pathway from death to life. That's why Jesus says, I know the way, you ought to follow me. And here's proof of it right here, that I resurrected from the dead. But if this is not true, then we are stuck in our sins. Good luck finding a way to relate to God, because there's no way. Jesus had some good teachings, but ultimately, if he is lying about who he is and his relationship to God, then he's not a good teacher, right? If he didn't raise, then he's a phony. But if he did raise, there's hope of life, right? If it's true, then this truth demands our life. It's the greatest hope that has ever been in the history of mankind. No one can get around death, and yet Jesus did. And he says, you can too. No matter what we face in life, we can do it with hope. We can have joy because we know the end of the story. we will live again just like Jesus if we confess him as Lord. We get to taste the resurrection with the disciples and Mary today and let it produce faith in our hearts. We are here to look at the empty tomb of Christ and let our hearts feel joy as God has confirmed his plan of redemption for us. So Mary Magdalene's about to be the first person to see Jesus and proclaim this fact to us. And she will see Jesus and confirm the resurrection is true. It's all true. You know, we always want like all the fantasy novels to be true, like Harry Potter, all the stuff. Like our hearts like want something more. And here the Bible says, here it is, everything you ever hoped for. It's right here in the resurrection of Christ. And so now let's look at John chapter 20. And read the rest of these verses here, 11 through 16. It says this, "But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stooped to look in the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. And they said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping?' And she said to them, 'They've taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they have laid him.' Having said this, she turned around and she saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?' Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, 'Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away.' And Jesus said to her, 'Mary.' And she turned and said to him in Aramaic, 'Rabboni,' which means teacher." You know, after Peter and John went home pondering, here Mary is weeping. And it's fascinating that, again, Mary has not understood the significance of what has taken place. She's still sorrowful. She still appears to be, right, like she thinks that Jesus' body has been removed or desecrated or stolen. She even talks with angels and is still concerned where Jesus is. Right? Like Mary, you may be here this morning with a friend, or maybe yourself, a neighbor, a relative, and you don't understand any of this either. Like you look at this and go, I don't get it. Right? You have questions. You hear the word, you see the celebration, you don't understand this Jesus thing. You may be even offended at the whole thing this morning. In fact, I remember one time, the Passion of the Christ came out. We did a big evangelistic push with a church I was a part of, and I brought some unbelieving friends, and they were so offended. Like, this was a gruesome movie. How can you believe in this? Maybe this morning, Jesus and the cross and the resurrection seem like religious folklore to you. Maybe you're offended at the graphic nature of the cross that we have celebrated. Maybe you're saddened because you want to understand this. You want to know where Jesus is and believe, but you just can't quite get there. Mary teaches us that coming to understand the gospel and the resurrection of Christ is a spiritual event. God has to open our hearts and our minds to see Jesus for who he is and what's really going on here. Listen, I've been praying for everybody in this room this morning. Everybody that would show up at Risen Life and other churches that are preaching the Bible, that God would give you eyes to see and ears to hear to receive the truth of the gospel and the resurrection this morning. That you would look at this story of the resurrection of Jesus and go, I believe. I don't get it all, but I believe. And begin a resurrected life in him. And this is exactly what we see Jesus do with Mary on Easter Sunday morning. He opens her eyes to see him. He appears to her. She's preoccupied with grief, doesn't even recognize him, but then he opens her eyes. One implication of this text also tells us about, I think, our resurrected bodies to come, our glorified bodies. Though they are like this one, which this one's pretty great, right? They're going to be so much better. That they have continuity with who we are, but there is a great discontinuity. We are better. We are what God always created us and wanted us to be. And in some ways, that will be unrecognizable to all of us. We see this in several of Jesus' appearances where the people don't even recognize Jesus when he appears. And so Mary badgers the supposed gardener, right? Great costume. You should dress up for that for Halloween. About where the body of Jesus is, and she even offers to carry the body away if she'll just tell me where it is. And it's at this point Jesus turns towards her and says, Mary. And in speaking her name, Mary instantly recognizes who Jesus is. This is a spiritual and holy moment, right? In the speaking of her name, Mary instantly recognizes Jesus. She responds, Teacher, it's you! And she gives him a big hug and just holds on to him for all that she's worth. And I believe this has been the experience of believers throughout the centuries. We may investigate Jesus, we may read about him, we may go to church groups and small groups and try to find God, try to know Jesus. We may learn lots of things about him and what lots of people think about him, but we come to Jesus when Jesus calls our name and he opens our eyes to believe. When Jesus makes himself known to us, it's as if a light comes on in our mind and heart and we respond with Jesus, my Lord and Savior. John 10:27 says, My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And when Jesus reveals himself, he speaks to us, and we follow him. Jesus' invitation this morning to everyone here, this is his invitation, his ongoing invitation. The invitation of the resurrection is to follow Jesus, to find new life. If you're here this morning, I believe Jesus wants you to hear his voice. I believe he's speaking through me. He's calling you. He wants you to hear about the empty tomb and believe. He wants you to hear about the empty tomb and confess Jesus as Lord. He wants you to hear about the empty tomb to see him and hear him call your name. Will you believe in the resurrection? Put your faith in him? Come and follow him this morning. Now here's the cool thing. We make Jesus our Lord. He has something for us to do. Imagine that. In fact, this is why Jesus is going to go tell Mary to listen, Mary, stop holding on to me so tightly. This is great news that you need to go announce and work to tell the world about what's just happened. In fact, this is the last thing that we'll look at here. Jesus commissioned Mary to go and tell. Look at verses 17 and 18. It says this. Jesus said to Mary, Don't cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Then Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, I have seen the Lord, and that he said these things to her. Okay, I love this. Mary tells us two things here that are important. First thing is, through Jesus, we can have a relationship with God. That he's getting ready to ascend to the Father, and he says, this is his God and yours, Mary. And he's telling her, as you follow me, you get the very God himself. When you put your faith in Jesus, you get God the Father too. As Jesus says in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And John 14:7, if you know me, you know God. So here this morning, looking for God, if you're here this morning looking for God, the Bible again and again says the only way to do that, the only way to find God is through Jesus. That's it. Listen, I can tell you from my own experience, I've read and experienced a tremendous amount of books and other religions, and none of them claim to have a king that left heaven to come seeking you in love. None of them. All of them say, you reach up to God, see if you can find him. Maybe you're good enough. Maybe you'll climb the stairs enough to get to him. Jesus says, I came down to meet you and find you and seek you out. I also believe there's no other religion that so accurately explains the world that we live in, our sin problem that has made this world a horrible place to be. As much as we like to make it a good place, it's a God-forsaken world. And this is the only way back into God's presence. When you confess Jesus as Lord, you get a relationship with God as well. And band, you can come on up. Second thing Jesus says in his instructions to Mary is, go and tell the good news of this resurrection to my brothers and to the whole world. Go tell the guys I'm alive and that I will ascend to the Father soon. In a small way, this mirrors the great commission that Jesus is going to give at his ascension. That if you believe Jesus is resurrected, then go and tell the world. Go tell this city out there. It needs to know this good news. And so today, as we celebrate the resurrection of Christ, if we believe it's true, then we need to go and proclaim the good news. Who's not here celebrating with us today that you want to be here? Who's not here that Jesus is already beginning to whisper and call their name that needs to be here? A friend, a relative, a coworker, your neighbor. God wants to speak into their life and call their very name to come follow him. In response to the resurrection, we are commissioned to go and tell the truth. It's a call to believe and then tell others. He is risen! That's right. As we come to a close this morning, we're going to praise the Lord again for his great love for us and salvation that he has accomplished in Christ. We're going to celebrate the truth of the resurrection as we sing that proves that Jesus is exactly who he said he was and that he gives us hope of eternal life in the presence of God again. We said on Good Friday that at the cross a worldwide worship movement began. Jesus states that in the cross through Psalm 22 that it was beginning, and we get the joy of worshiping him this morning because he is alive. This morning Jesus is calling you. If you don't know him, then he says, look at the accounts of my resurrection and believe. Come and find life in me and pursue me with all that you are, and you will find everlasting joy like Mary got on that day. If you don't know him this morning, as we respond, I would encourage you to give your life to Christ. Confess him as Lord. Confess that you believe he rose from the dead and be saved, as Paul said. If you do that this morning, make sure that you let us know so that we can celebrate with you. And for the rest of us, let's celebrate this resurrection, and then let's go and tell this world that needs resurrected life. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your many blessings to us. We thank you for the truth and the miracle of the resurrection. Praise you, Father, that you made a way out of death to life into your presence forever. God, would you give us the hope of resurrected life and all that we face through life, knowing that Jesus has defeated it all, and we have hope. We praise you, Father. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.